So, Happy New Year. Make any resolutions?
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of a funny thing. It's an interesting thing. It's one of those things a lot of people do because it can bring about positive change. Let's be honest. You know, there are some things that you are doing that you shouldn't be doing and some things you should, you know how that works. So you might want to think about it. Irma Bombeck, the late Irma Bombeck, made these New Year's resolutions. She said, number one, I'm going to clean up this dump just as soon as the kids grow up. Number two, I will go to no doctor whose office plants are dead. Number three, I'm going to follow my husband's suggestion to put a little excitement into my life by living within our budget. Yeah. Number four, I'm going to apply for a hardship scholarship to Weight Watchers. Number five, and I like this one, I will never loan my car to anyone I have given birth to. Number six, and last, just like last year, I'm going to remember that my children need love the most when they deserve it the least. Now that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, I like that. Another commentator, Andy Rooney, do you remember him? He was on Sunday nights. Yeah, he made an interesting comment that I noted. He said, I've given up on resolutions and switched to revolutions. I'm revolting against the way I am. I'm not going to lose any weight again this year. Last year, I was determined not to resolve to lose any. I didn't try, and for once, my resolution was successful. I didn't lose anything. You know, but resolutions don't have to be funny, and we don't have to give up on them. New Year's resolutions can make a big difference. It can be helpful. It's time to kind of think over the new year, start over the fresh start. But for most of us, New Year's resolutions, they get packed up, right? As soon as the Christmas ornaments are gone, usually our resolutions are broken. The problem with most of them is that they're just way too safe, too sensible, and often too self-centered. We resolve to make little tiny cosmetic changes in our lifestyles, but we refuse to really think about restructuring our lives. Now, this story in Luke's gospel is about the boy Jesus, and it gives us an example of what it would mean if we were to transform our lives by making a serious resolution that from this day forward, we will, quote, be about our Father's business. The scene opens by affirming the obedience to the law of Moses, and Mary and Joseph have maintained it in their home. As ordained by Mosaic law, they were required to pack up and trek to Jerusalem each year at the festival of the Passover. And Jewish tradition commonly recognized 12 as the beginning of the end of childhood. At 12, a boy could be held responsible for keeping and binding vows. This age marked the transition from childhood to the beginning of adulthood. This story depicts the transition of this infant narratives in the Bible. All this that came in Luke before is all about Jesus as a baby, and now we have Jesus moving into adulthood. Mary and Joseph and their friends and neighbors and relatives all made the required pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. But as soon as the allotted time for the holiday was over, they hit the road, anxious to get back to the chores and the responsibilities that filled their lives. You know how that feels, don't you? When the holidays are over and it's time to pack everything up, house doesn't look quite as interesting. Next week, all of these beautiful decorations will be down. And it's a beautiful church, but it's not as beautiful as it is right now. Mary would have had all the hundreds of time-consuming things on her mind, the tasks that were going to keep her family clothed. Joseph undoubtedly had some projects he was working on, needed to get back to his shop and complete those things. And so like most of us, at the end of an extended vacation, you're looking forward to just getting back to the comfortable familiarity of just everyday life, right? And as the caravan turned towards Nazareth, it undoubtedly took on its traditional form. The men were in the front. They were talking theology and business and all of those things. In the middle were the animals and the possessions. And then the back, the women and the children were all part of all of that. The children would have been given a responsibility, either to take over some animals or some of the wagons. They were workers. And nobody got to just take a ride. So this is what's going on. And then at the end of the day, when they all get together, the families all go to their own places. And that's when Mary and Joseph realize, where's Jesus? And I have often thought that it would be
impossible to not know where my kid is at the time. But you all have done that. I've heard so many stories. There was a kid in my college class. His name was Krosnick. His parents were really famous musicians. And they left him at Albertsons, Skaggs Albertsons, a store in Jacksonville, so many times that the store had their telephone number written on the wall so they could call the Krosnicks and say, you left your son there. Yeah, he was a student with me. It was an interesting story. But so apparently it happened quite a bit back then. So what do they do? They're one day away from Jerusalem. Now they've got to travel back by themselves one day. Now it's been 2 days. And then they've got to find Jesus. So it took 3 days, which is an interesting little number, isn't it, when you think about Jesus. Other things that took 3 days, like in the tomb. But anyway, and they find him, and he is in the temple. And so they really probably suspected that he would be there all along, but they find him participating in the discussion, and he is an articulate and bright student. When Mary finds Jesus, she asks, why have you treated us like this? That's one of the most honest statements in the Bible. Why did you do this to us? And the question implies an intentional act of deception or betrayal on Jesus' part. We can all identify with the great anxiety that parents feel. You've all had that happen, haven't you, when you can't find your kids in the store? We understand the gut-wrenching accusation of this almost hysterical mother. And Jesus replies, why is that? He's genuinely mystified. He's amazed at her display of bottled-up anger. His response also reveals that he has now taken on for himself the responsibility of living up to his dedication to God. I must be in my Father's house. He clearly felt the call of his heavenly Father. That one translation says it this way, engaged in my Father's business. And it helps to broaden our concept of God's house. Jesus is not claiming that he only has to be in the temple. From now on, he must be concerned with the things of my Father. And despite such claims to be about his Father's business, he nonetheless obediently follows his parents back to Nazareth and waits for his time when he's truly an adult and beginning his own ministry. But the point for today is that the young Jesus refused to let his relationship with God be regulated according to some prearranged, culturally imposed schedule. Instead of going along with the return to business as usual attitude, he answered the most important call of all to be about his Father's business. Now, what would it mean if we were to act in a similar way? What would it mean to live according to what God has required of us? What does it mean to be about God's business? Jesus discovered at this early age that answering God's expectation can get you in trouble, even with your own mom and dad. The ultimate resolution of a Christian can make it to live in the light of divine intentions. This resolution does not challenge us to cut fat grams or quit smoking or get into aerobics once or twice a week, but to live under the umbrella of God's expectations and to make it your business to be a part of God's business. So what is that? How do you define what is God's business? Micah 6:8 says it very well, quote, he has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To love kindness, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. God's business is about transformation. You know, an electrical transformer, you see them out on your, you never notice they're there until they explode, right? Yeah, it's cool when they explode, I gotta tell you. Don't like it for the guys that have to fix it. But, you know, what happens is all that high voltage goes into the transformer and it transforms into something that is safe to use in your home. At Bethlehem, God came to us and gave us Jesus Christ, who transforms in his life the love and the power of God into the impulses of grace and salvation that the world so desperately needs. And we are called to be transformers just like that. I want to challenge you to make a New Year's resolution that contains two essential ingredients. First, go into the Word, and second, go into the world. first the word. When Jesus felt called to live beyond business as usual and answered the call of God's business, he first went where? To the temple. In other words, he steeped himself in the meanings and the message of God's word. Knowing what God intends for men and women, learning what God has already said and done and promised for this world is a necessary first step in the transformation process. I remember the first Sunday of a new year when two families came to the church, and I talked to them later in the week. I said, why were you? I've never seen you before. Nice to have you. What brought you to church? And they said, New Year's resolutions. And I thought, that's not so bad, not so bad. Perhaps this year you will resolve to read the Bible through, to attend Sunday school, to participate in small group Bible studies, to come to other events that will build up your spirit. There are many ways for you to get yourself more involved in God's Word. Figure out which is best for you and get yourself into the Word. And then secondly, get into the world. Being about God's business doesn't mean that you do nothing but sit around in the temple or in the church all day long and discussing fine points of theology. Remember that while Jesus started out in the temple, he then obediently followed Joseph and Mary back into the world. We cannot be a part of transforming the world unless we stand in its midst. That is the trouble with our traditional New Year's resolutions. They never step outside the confines of our own self-centered existence. And so I challenge you to make some resolutions that will take you out into the world. What if instead of resolving to lose 10 pounds this year, you resolve to help Habitat for Humanity build a home for a homeless family? What if instead of resolving to read some good books, you resolve to work through Colors of Hunger to minister to needy people in our community? What if instead of resolving to get more exercise this year, you resolve to exercise some spiritual muscles? What if instead of resolving to spend less time in front of the TV and more time reading some good books, you resolve to teach a Bible study? What instead of resolving to spend more, quote, quality time with your family, you resolve maybe to take that family on a mission trip that we did this past year. Do another one of those. Make it a point to commit to something that will take you into the world because it is the cause of Christ. Your commitment to such a resolution can make you a transformer, taking the love of God and sending it into the world. A fresh new year, it lies unblemished before you. What do you resolve to be and do in the year 2023? Wow, I was really sleepy this morning when I wrote that. I really did write 20. I said, oh, yeah, I got to make, no, never mind. Let us pray. Yeah. Father, we thank you that as a year ahead of us, it is a time of excitement. It is truly unblemished. There's anything can happen. And at the end of that year, we will look back and we will see a roadmap of faith and faithlessness, of triumph and tragedy. And all of that will be in the context of your presence with us. So allow us into your word and into your world that we may be transformers, transforming your love and your grace and your mercy into acts of love and grace and mercy to those around us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.